The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, happy Wednesday, wherever you are around this ever more troubled planet of ours, and I am ashamed to be a human being. Look what they gave us, they being whoever God or gods you happen to believe in. The universe, as it is, we got this magnificent, beautiful little water planet, and we've allowed the controllers, the parasites, the inhumanly evil bastards who are running the show to destroy it. And it's our fault, ultimately. We should have and could have stopped them, no matter what the cost, no matter what the price. We didn't. And now look what we've got. George Filer is with us tonight on an unusual night for George. We have a special guest as well. And if you look in the center section at Rents for the headlines, you'll see George's latest three Filer's Files, 8, 9, and 10. And if you don't know what Filer's Files are, you should take a look. We can get you a free subscription. It's a weekly newsletter about the UFO ET phenomenon and the obscene government cover-up that is continuing to be forced down our throats. Of course, those of us here who really study the subject honestly don't pay too much trouble, our mind, and really little attention to the government, because we know what the government is. It's part of those people who have destroyed the planet. Okay, Major Filer, welcome back. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
Not
I'm
that
back
good.
Back from Florida, back in New Jersey, where it's colder.
See? You've been having fun. Now you got back home in time. Are you still getting the snow shovel back there?
Well, it's warmed up for a few days, but now it's getting chilly again.
About like minus.
They're even talking about the fact that we may have snow in the next couple of days.
Well, it's spring. What do you want? Snow.
Right.
Wow. Well, I don't know what to tell you. This whole winter has been quite clearly, for all of you in the East and Midwest, a horrible, horrible one. Some say it's the worst ever. Certainly in terms of comfort and difficulties, it is. We have a lot to talk about. Who did you bring on tonight for us to interview and hear some fascinating things?
Well, a good friend of mine, Joe Stafula, is coming on with us tonight.
Uh-huh.
And he spent 25 years in the Army and Special Forces and CID, which is essentially like the police force. Exactly. Detectives. And military intelligence.
Intelligence, investigations, yeah, right.
Right, he's been looking into a very interesting case that he's going to tell you all about that occurred near Memphis.
Very good.
I don't know if you wanted to have him on directly. Or?
No, we'll talk just a few minutes. I want to look at these issues. The most current issue of Filers Files number 10, which I haven't had a chance to look at yet, is up there. And again, it's in the center section, or you can just click on George's name and go to the National UFO Center, and you can find them right there and read them anytime you'd like. If you want them sent to your electronic mailbox, you just simply write to George to Major, M-A-J-O-R, Star, S-T-A-R, at Verizon.net, and tell him you heard him here and you'd like to get a free subscription, and he will give you one. No problem, no cost, just fascinating material every time. Okay, Filers Files issue number 10. We're in the 10th week of the year. You got that classic picture of Ronald Reagan and his statement, a threat from E.T. would unite the Earth. It would, and that, according to Wernher von Braun, was the Trump card, that they were going to play the E.T. card to drive everybody into a one-world government. Save us, save us, save us, and people would do anything that they're asked to. And it may be on the front burner. We don't know. Gorbachev said also, we are all God's children. I couldn't help but say to him, just think how easy his task and mine might be in these meetings that we held if suddenly there was a threat to this world from some other species, from another planet outside in the universe. That's what Reagan said to Mikhail Gorbachev, very famous. He also said, what was that line he gave Steven Spielberg when they played...
Only a few of us know what's going on concerning...
Yeah, it was E.T.
UFOs and aliens.
Right. He said, only a few of us in this room really know the truth about what's happening. And that was a very telling statement. He also... He and Nancy were going to dinner at Lucille Ball's house with Desi one night in L.A., and I heard this story, forget where, but they were driving, and there was a craft, a machine in front of them in the direction they were driving, and it apparently changed course, and he ordered the driver to follow it, and that made them about a half an hour late to dinner, and he was clearly interested in the subject, to put it mildly.
Yes, I knew some people who worked for him in the White House. Supposedly he got briefing on UFOs almost every day.
Oh, really? Well, I wouldn't be surprised. And that doesn't mean that all presidents do get briefed. It is commonly thought that Clinton was kept on the outside. Nixon was on the inside. Carter was kept out. Reagan was apparently on the inside. He knew. And that wouldn't surprise me.
I had a friend of a friend who knew President Ford, and he claimed he was.
He knew too.
Kept out many inside information.
Uh-huh.
Matter of fact, I've got a letter to that effect.
Yeah, I remember you wrote to him. It's nice.
One thing is that it's interesting that Gorbachev answered Reagan and said, in spite of the differences between us, we must all learn to preserve as one big family of humanity. In any case, I shall not dispute the hypothesis, though I think it is early yet to worry about such an intrusion. In any case, that was...
He thought it was early, but it was possible, and that was Gorbachev. All right.
Right. At least he went along with what President Reagan said. Now, later on... It's kind of interesting. I met some Soviet colonels, you know, actually
uh-huh.
who'd been in the Soviet military and so on.
Right.
And they claimed that the UFOs, or at least triangle-shaped craft, had come in and destroyed some of their SAM sites and so on. Matter of fact, they even had pictures of it. It claimed it was likely, you know, UFO alien-type craft. Although
right.
I guess it could have been something of ours, but in any case...
Well, not likely.
One of the reasons that they they, you know, you might say, changed from the Soviet Union to Russia. That was all part of the situation that was going on behind the scenes. But that they said it very definitely. Like they were convinced it happened. And I said, well, we've always been given the idea that you ran out of money and you were, you know, that kind of thing. He said, we were in better shape financially than we'd been for years and years.
That's funny.
Any case, they were quite, I met two of them in New York. And it was kind of interesting what they had to say. They were convinced that UFOs were real and that they were...
Oh, of course. You know, if we're the only intelligent life in the universe, God help us all. This is the... Oh, please. How many billions of planets are there just in the Milky Way that potentially could host life? It's billions, isn't it? A billion? I don't know. It's huge.
Well, a huge number, certainly.
Okay, here's another one.
Grains of sand on the...
More on all the beaches of the world. All right, here's another great one. This is in Filer's Files, issue number 10. Scroll down, and there's another absolutely stunning photo from Mars to ponder. And on the left, you'll see the arrows pointing to this thing, and then there's an inset where it's enlarged. And the inset has been color-corrected to reflect actually what that red thing looks like. They play all kinds of games, changing colors on the surface of Mars, just like NASA has done for decades and decades, obfuscating things on the moon and things that are flying. And they just, the old expression was airbrush them out, but it's all digital now. Well, that object to the left of the box that's blown up, again, the box is color-corrected, and it looks exactly, precisely, like an old New York City telephone directory or ancient text of some kind. It's a book. Well, it's a book.
It looks like it, but it really is, of course.
Who knows? But it looks exactly like a book with some kind of ornate raised cover sections. But the Curiosity rover, I think, was put down in that crater with the idea that there wouldn't be much to see. And there have been so many pictures of things that are just absolutely fascinating when they're looked at, blown up, enlarged. I mean, hundreds of them, which are completely anomalous, completely.
We try to show them on a regular basis.
But right. Well, they're
frankly, it kind of looks like I've taken some of these pictures and taken them over to University of Pennsylvania to the people who are experts in Egyptian archaeology and showed them the pictures, and they thought they were from Egypt, and they were, in fact, from Mars.
Well, nothing is off limits here. It's all possible. All right, let's ask you to again say hello to your friend Joe and introduce him. It's Joe Stafula, and I think he's standing by now. Are you there, Joe? Hi, Joe.
Hi, Jeff. Hi, George.
Hi.
How are you?
I am doing fine. It's getting warmer.
Good. How long have you known this character, George Filer?
Probably George from the late 80s, I think. I was, one time I was the MUFON state director.
Oh, I see.
And you know, I had meetings and stuff, and I met George through that.
So you got your you got your 30-year pin.
You've
known
right.
A long time. Well, good. Okay, so tell us your story. What do you have to share with us tonight?
Well, this is all started thanks to Kevin Randall. I heard Kevin was going to publish a new book, so I went to Amazon, put UFO books, and they had a list of thousands of them there, but you can search by publication date. So I said search by publication date, and it like started in November, and I go back, I found Kevin's book. So I said to myself, well, since I'm there, let me check and see what's coming out, or maybe hadn't already been out since January.
Mm-hmm.
And I come down, and February 1st, they had this book, the Memphis UFO incident, February 2015. And I said, and this is like the 24th of February, and the book was published on the, that's when I was checking, and the book was published on the 15th of February.
How can that be? It takes almost a year to publish a book.
I called Vince Space, who does self-publishing. They're a subsidiary of Amazon, and they said, oh, yeah, we can do it that quick. In fact, we can do it quicker than that if you give us the manuscript. So I said, they had to, I asked, listen, can I have the author's real name? Because in the book, I'll explain later why they didn't want to give their real name. They gave aliases, but they gave their educational background and their positions with Federal Express.
Uh-huh.
And that's what caught my attention, Federal Express. And these guys were three pilots, a business management guy, acquisition aircraft guy, public affairs guy, and of course the guy who wrote the book, this Lee Spencer, is claimed to be an attorney, working for them, dealing with contract matters and a lot of stuff overseas in China.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, how do I find out if they have a, so what I did, well, there's sites you can go through, give a list of attorneys. So I found the one for Federal Express, and about 200 of them there. And they all have a little bio listing their education level. Well, this guy went to Cecil Humphreys School of Law at the University of Memphis and graduated in 1988. And that's the same time that this guy is claimed in the book. That's his background. So I had his office number, so I gave him a call and talked to his secretary. And I told her, I want to speak to Attorney X to ask him some questions about a book he just had published.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me, well, he's out of the country. I said, well, can you get in? She said, I'll send him an email. And so I gave her my contact information and waited a day.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing back. I called her back. I got voicemail, not her. I called her back a third time and got voicemail, not her. So then I talked to a guy named Jeff who works for media relations for Federal Express.
Uh-huh.
And I said, Jeff, I'm calling to try if you can help me find out about this book that's allegedly been published by one of your attorneys. And he said, what's it about? I said, well, don't let this title scare you. I told him the title, and he says, man, I never heard like anything like this before. He said, I'll see what I can do. He said, call me back. So I call him back the next day. He says to me, Joe, I can't help you. You're on your own.
Message received loud and clear.
Yeah. So,
wow.
For those guys, how it started was, obviously they all went to Memphis State except one guy, and they all graduated in either 88 or 89, so that's, to me, is the connection between them all.
So there are four authors, theoretically four authors, did I count right?
Yeah, what they did was, Spencer wrote the introduction, and each of them chipped, I won't say a chapter, some was a couple pages, some was maybe one or two pages,
right.
Given the incident from their point of view. Now, basically, how they were there that early in the morning, this all started about 4:47 a.m., they had agreed to meet, because Davis had just bought a house, and he built this very expensive glass patio on the east side of the house, and he wanted to show it off, but the only time they're all going to be in was around midnight. And they all happened to be off the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So they decided, let's go out to the house and have some coffee and maybe a couple beers and, talk about old times and stuff. So they drive out to the house, and they're all sitting in this glass patio. And one of the guys, about 4:47, he reckons the time, he notices this light by the tree line in the northeast corner of the patio.
So this patio is enclosed, and it all has
glass enclosed patio.
It was okay.
So expensive, he had to put security cameras in case there was a breakage, he could prove it, it was an accident, it was like an animal hit it or something.
For insurance, uh-huh.
They live on, at least they claim, on Wright Road in a little town called Collierville, Tennessee, which is south, I guess, east of Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
And at first they think it's an airplane. Because about a mile and a half down to the east of them is a Indian River small private, not private, but small plane airport.
Uh-huh.
And then they realized, no, this is coming too fast to be an airplane, because then they thought, well, maybe the thing's going to crash. Then all at once, they notice these, they don't call them UFOs, they call them AO, aerial objects, outside the house was hovering there. And what happened next was they get this brilliant light, illuminates the whole inside of the glass patio. It's so bright they got to cover their eyes with their hands or their coats. Then also at the same time, within seconds or minutes of that, the temperature goes from 70 degrees to between 115 and 120 degrees. It's so warm that it melts the candle the guy has in there in the patio.
Chad Davis. Wow.
So that causes them all to run into the main house.
Yeah, sure.
So they get in there and they're all like, "What the hell's going on here?" You know,
mm-hmm.
And they realize that the five guys that had their cell phones on their belts, the cell phones were completely knocked out. They can't use them. But the two guys that left the cell phones in the kitchen, they could use them. So then they had to come out with a plan. They break up into two different groups and they go around the house in two different areas, and they're observing the things. They're still there. All of a sudden, almost instantaneously, the things like go out and they reappear in a field, farmer's field, about 800 yards from the house. You could see them.
So, okay, now when you say them,
we started out with
one light. What do we have that they're looking at now? How many different?
Okay, what they determined was, instead of the object they described is about 65 feet in diameter. They don't call it saucer shape; they call it pan shape, with a 5 to 7 foot dome on top. Next to them was two smaller objects. It seemed to be like, I don't know, little babies from them. They're about half the size of the first
uh-huh.
one,
uh-huh.
And they could see like the big one was when it was illuminated. They could see the light reflecting off the little aerial objects. Then they got the courage up. They were going to walk down to that field because the things were still there, sitting there on the ground.
Oh, that's the least they could do.
So they break up into two teams. They get down there.
They did go down.
Joe,
hold on. Were all three on the ground or just the two smaller ones?
The big one is on the ground. The two smaller ones, at first they thought all of them was. When they got there, they could see that the two other ones was hovering above the ground. It wasn't actually landed on the ground.
So they worked their way down there in the dark. All right. This is fascinating. Can you hold on just a minute? Joe, hold on. I'm sorry to interrupt you. We have to take a break.
Okay, sure.
We'll be right back in about 3 minutes. This is remarkable. And how many of them went down to the field?
All of them, all seven of them.
All seven.
One group of four, one group of three.
Okay. It would have been fun to go along there. Hold on, we'll come right back with George Filer and our special guest, Joe Stafula. Okay, back. This is a fascinating story. Joe, now
yes.
This story came out in the book that you're talking about, right?
Correct.
All right, and they put that book together and got it out to me in astounding time, but I guess you can do anything if you've got a manuscript ready to go.
I was with you. I just think it could be done. I called Event Space, and they said, oh, yeah, you know, we can. But nowadays, we can do books in no time. In fact, they had to... Kindle edition you could download, or you could order the paperback.
Amazing.
It's not a long book. It's like 84 pages.
Yeah.
And,
okay. Well, it sounds like the seven guys all contributed.
Spencer took the lead, wrote the introduction, the evidence section at the end.
Yeah.
But they all gave their versions of what happened, you know what I mean? And they basically match. they might be off at the time because they all had different watches and they were checking. So that might not be as accurate, but the best of their ability, they try to put everything down as they recall it.
Very good. All right.
A lot of information.
Okay, so they're heading on down from the guy who had the house. By the way, did that light only illuminate the glassed-in patio? Do they know, or did it just happen to hit?
No, I mean, it blinded them. They were blinded.
It hit the whole area.
With hands and coats, because yeah.
What I'm trying to get at,
hurt their eyes.
It wasn't beamed at the house necessarily. It just lit the whole area up.
It lit the whole area inside that glass patio up.
But what about the rest of the house outside?
Was it? They couldn't see because the light was so bright.
So they don't know. I mean, it could have lit the whole hundreds of yards around the house up too.
Oh,
they just don't know. Yeah,
that's possible.
Okay.
But they can't say it because all they. So that was what happened in that glass patio.
Okay, all right. So seven guys, four, and then a group of three are working their way down about 800 yards away to a big flat meadow or a farmer's field.
Like a farmer's field.
All right.
And they got the two groups. They were taking the two working cell phones. They were taking pictures as they went down. They got within 100 yards of the object. And one guy, one pilot, who's an ex-Marine, decided he was going to go over and touch it.
Wow. There's a Marine for you.
He walks 20 yards. He gets about 80 of the object. And all at once, the light comes back up, and the heat comes back up. Of course, outside, it's like 40 degrees, and it's not inside a glass patio. But then they kind of like blink out and disappear. They go back to the house, they get in, they bring some flashlights down, they start looking, checking the area out. They took that night or the next day, they took soil samples and grass samples and all kinds of samples.
Okay, let me rewind. What happened was when he started to move toward the object, got within, made 20 feet.
That brilliant light came on.
Okay, I assume that was the entire object lit up, it sounds like.
He knew the light was there, and it's like almost, I guess, you're staring at a high-intensity light bulb.
Yeah, so he had to stop. In other words, that was stop right there.
But then the heat came back on.
And that was really stop.
And that really scared him.
Yeah.
Then it all stopped, and they were gone.
The lights, the craft, the objects?
Everything was gone.
Gone. Yeah. Well, they weren't gone. That's good.
No, they were all there, a little shook up.
Yeah, I'd say.
Then they decided, they decided that we should collect evidence. So they collected soil samples, like some plant samples where the object were, at least the big one was on the ground.
Were there impressions left in the soil?
They didn't say in the book.
Okay.
But they took pictures, and they have, let me get to the part, the best part, I think, is the evidence. They have 101 minutes of color video, the whole event, from surveillance cameras that were inside that glass patio. They have 154 cell phone pictures they took, plus they have 14 minutes of audio that they recorded on their cell phones.
That's a documentary.
That's right. If you could justify it's real, I mean, you could get Fox or somebody, I think, would pay to hear, show this stuff.
You'd think that they'd be knocking at the door. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm. So they get back, and they decided, they took a vote about if they should write something using their real name. Five voted against and two voted for. So they made a rule, it has to be the majority. Everybody has to agree. So they went with these aliases. They also said that they were concerned about this event for national security reasons. I mean, they thought it was dangerous. Something like that could fly around and do this. And so they this is what they're claiming in the book, that they wanted to talk to somebody from the government or somebody in, like, university research, some institution that could analyze the evidence, the film, the pictures, and whatever they got back from the soil samples. And they wanted to do that to justify that people, that they were telling the truth about what happened. Now, they said they had a plan to do this, and when they started to initiate that plan, Then they were going to eventually, they said in the near future, we were going to come forward with our real names so everybody would know that we're real people. So it's been now, I don't know, a little over a month, and I haven't. The funny thing was, I check every day the UFO boards and stuff, and there's no mention of this anywhere.
This is one of the biggest sightings of the year. Easy.
Yeah, there's no, and I try to get to one of the MUFON state director. I can't get through. His voicemail is filled up.
What's going on, George?
I'm trying to catch him too, Eddie Middleton. I did talk to the chief field investigator, and he indicated he hadn't heard about it.
He had not?
He had not.
And this is
a
huge
actually,
event.
He said he had heard something like a rumor, but nothing.
Oh, come on. You got seven witnesses that are directly involved.
Detailed.
Now, the color video security cam footage.
Well, they have multiple cams out there they got it from.
Okay. This is amazing. Now, the object, when it came down, that light, did it stay on? Was the patio illuminated the whole time when they went?
It stayed lit till they got close. I think they were saying they was like 240 feet above the ground or something, I'd estimate. Once this light came on.
Uh-huh.
And shortly after that, they were all, jumping on the floor, covering their eyes, putting coats over their heads, because it blinded them.
Sure.
That's how intense this light was. And
Now I got a question here. Hold on. When they worked their way down, they left the house and they split up into two groups. Is the light still on the glass patio at that time, or did that machine...
No.
So the machine shut the light off, because you told me when they got down there, they turned it back on. So they've got color video of the craft with and without the light on.
Yeah, that's what they're claiming. They have all this on video.
All right, well, that's damn good video. That's very interesting. Oh, my. All right, hold on. We have another break. This will be our last break, so forgive the intrusion. Just a remarkable story, and it should be getting blue ribbon attention. This is huge. Huge. All right, hold on. We'll be right back. Yeah, let's get right back to it, George Filer, and yours truly, and Joe Stafula. Now, the only reason we're hearing this tonight is because you had the wherewithal to figure out that there was a new book, and you got it, and you read it.
Well,
otherwise,
I wasn't even looking for it. I was
there's
looking
no,
for
that's what I mean.
Book,
there's no big promotion.
I came across this book.
Mm-hmm.
Then
What is the title of the book, please?
The Memphis UFO Incident. February 2015. Now, if you go to Amazon and put that title in, you go right to the book, and you can read, look inside, you can read the first seven pages. You don't have to buy anything.
Wow. All right. Go ahead. Anything else? Any missing time? Any odd marks on them? Burns? Anything like that?
That was one of the questions I was going to ask them. Do you guys have any of that? But I never could get through to anybody. Particularly Lawyer X, it just seemed like once I said what I was for, and if you call them at home, they got to, you have to know the PIN number even to leave a message in voicemail. So you can't even contact them at his house.
You can't even leave a voicemail without a special PIN?
Yeah, access PIN number.
Well, I praise them for putting this together and bringing it out no matter what. I understand the idea of anonymity. They don't want to be mocked or whatever else they think may happen to them. But again, this is a very, very big event.
Particularly if you got that evidence.
I've never heard more evidence in one event.
And they claim they looked at the video, and it shows exactly what happened.
Wow. Okay, well, we'll see. Unless they've been contacted by our friends in the government, maybe this will be put together and brought out on a video. It should be. I mean, this is a natural documentary.
That may be why they're not coming forward. They've already made a deal with somebody. You know what I'm saying? They
told
them, be quiet until we get this together.
Well, let's hope so.
But they promised they would come out shortly with their viral names and everything and with the evidence. So, like, I've been waiting for a month, and I haven't seen anything yet. And I decided, well, maybe we can turn up the heat.
Yeah, you're going to have a long wait.
It's publicizing, you know, getting word.
Well, you know, when you get involved with lawyers, nothing moves.
I know. I was warned about that.
Yeah.
Nothing moves quickly. That's why I'm not using his real name.
All right. Okay. George Filer, what do you think?
Well, I thought it was an exceptional case.
Oh, yeah.
We had another similar one that I had another Alon, I don't know if you remember, from Missouri, but a couple of pilots had seen a low-flying craft that landed nearby in a field, and they went there. And in any case, they had laser burns and so on. And what was interesting that with that case is they shined a very powerful flashlight, you might say, ahead of them, and it worked fine. And they shined the light over to where they thought the UFO was, and it did not penetrate through the darkness. It was like the light was shut off, even though it was shining on.
Just went into a black hole.
And their Jeep that they were driving also stopped working for a while until they could coast down the hill and get far enough away that it would operate again. The point is that we're getting a series of very important cases that we hope that this situation, that these people will come forward.
Oh, yeah.
Firsthand.
And these cases that we do hear about reflect but a small number of the cases that are really out there. Joe, what else do you have for us?
Just anyone might be interested. If they have Google Earth on their computers, they can go to a search for WRIGHT Road. Collierville, Tennessee, and it'll take you right to the road.
Okay, hold on. WRIGHT Road, and what was it, Tennessee? What?
Yeah, Collierville.
Collierville.
Yeah, Collierville.
Collierville,
Tennessee, and you can see the location. You can see the field. But the only trouble is those maps, I checked with Google Earth, they could be anywhere from 1 to 3 years old.
Oh,
Those pictures.
Yeah.
A lot of them are not satellite pictures. They have planes flying around taking pictures. And the only time they update their thing, if they come out with a new version of Google Earth, they'll update the pictures, the photographs you can see. So, and the terrain, you can see the wood line, you can see the farmer's field, you can see the where the road split. They said they went down to the notch, the split, and so it matches. But like I say, is I don't see. Maybe anybody else can look and find a house with a glass patio on the east side. I couldn't see one.
Maybe too old.
Yeah, that's right. That's because they say. Chad Davis is a guy who's supposed to own the property. He's a public relations guy. He claimed it was only recently built. And so I'm talking about the last 6 months before this. And it's a good chance they didn't, that's not updated.
It's fascinating to hear talk about the ex-Marine who decided to go for it. He was going to go right up and try and touch it. That takes a lot of guts.
Let me read this. They have an appreciation at the beginning of the book. Quote, We remember the armed forces of the United States of America, and we are grateful for the training they gave us. It might have saved our lives.
Well, he went for it, though. He was going to go up and touch it.
Yeah, he was going to go up and touch it. He's a pilot, so they do crazy things.
Would you have gone up and volunteered to do that, Joe?
As long as somebody was around to recover the body, or if they take me, somebody can report it as I'm missing. I would probably do it if I was with a group of people. But by myself, I would never do it.
George?
I would go up to a few feet away.
Even if you were by yourself, I think you would.
And yell out, and I'm a friend and all that kind of thing, you know.
Oh, please. You can do better than that.
Well, I think that...
take me to your leader, remember?
take you on board. And I think it's like you know, some people on Earth are bad, and I think some of the aliens are bad. I think most of them
are
bad.
I agree.
They can't trust everybody.
See, I can't believe that they didn't tell somebody else, you know, this, you know, a buddy or a coworker.
Oh, they had to, but they probably didn't want to.
And I'm hoping that they, whoever they might told, might come forward and say, oh, yeah, we heard this, and this guy is so-and-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so.
Well, they're welcome to contact, well, Jeff.
Yeah, and
we'll, Star.
Yeah, sure.
And if they do, we'll have him on.
This is a great story. Have you been down there, Joe, yourself, to take a look?
I was thinking about that, the flying down there, renting a car, and drive out to that area. But we were hoping MUFON, they're right there in Memphis, would send somebody out to check the area.
That should, well, George, MUFON is struggling here. They're not doing the right thing. They should have been all over this.
If they know, well, I told the head field investigator, and he was going to look into it.
Yeah, they'll look into it. That sounds like
I called him today and didn't get through.
Ah, see, something wrong here. There may be a lid on this already.
Well, we'll keep you posted if we learn.
Yeah, I'd like to know. I would. So would our listeners. Yeah, really wild.
Wild case. I'd like to be interested.
Oh, absolutely. Have you seen anything yourself, Joe, in life that is unbelievable or unreal to you?
Well, I was working in military intelligence.
From your background.
We were protecting a high-energy laser project they were working on. It's top secret out in White Sands, New Mexico.
Uh-huh.
And they had contract guards would be out there at night protecting the site. And they were reporting these bright orbs of light that was flying around out there, and somebody thought it may be Russians renting helicopters and flying over the border and trying to take pictures.
Yeah, I don't think so.
And I went out there and I talked to some old timers, and they said, "Oh, that stuff been going on for 50 years." So and sure enough, you see the orbs. You know,
what color were they? Were they orange?
They had an orange tint to them. It's yellowish, more yellowish white than orange.
Well, we've had an avalanche of reports the last 3 years of orange fireballs, so-called. There's tons. So, all right. Well, this has been a really wild one. Thank you very much, Joe, for being here and sharing that. And again, the name of the book is the
Memphis UFO Incident, February 2015.
Talk about hot off the press. There it is.
It is.
Wow. All right. Okay, Joe, you take care of yourself. Maybe we'll talk again. Thank you very much,
Jeff,
again.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure.
Right. Goodbye.
Good night. Well, Major Filer, you did it again. That's another great one. And I'm really surprised that MUFON isn't all over this.
Well, sometimes people keep things quiet, you know.
Or sometimes people are told to keep things quiet.
Now, a lot of commercial aircraft companies don't like people talking about UFOs. I mean, we've had cases where people started talking and they got fired, you know.
Yeah.
So,
well, I understand.
So they may be protecting their jobs and things, which I understand.
Isn't it kind of interesting that this guy built a house out there with a glass-walled patio, and he took his six buddies out there at 3:34 in the morning to show it to them. I think that's a little odd in and of itself, isn't it?
That is odd.
I mean, why don't you wait till daytime? What the hell's the deal? It sounds almost like a setup. It's odd.
Well, they're younger, and a lot of young people go out at midnight.
I guess they do. Whatever. Well, okay. Thank you very much for that. That was fascinating. Things are going on all the time. We'll talk to you sooner, hopefully, rather than later. Anytime, just let me know, and we appreciate it.
Okay.
Okay, good. Good night, George. All right, George Filer. There he goes. And we'll be right back with much more in just a few minutes.